a big element is missing from this year's presidential rank awards. Tom Shoup, editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, looking at how this year's awards are different. And I guess the first thing I would say, Tom, is that at least there were awards this year.
Well, there actually technically weren't awards. They suspended the awards program, but were legally mandated to go through the process of picking finalists and didn't actually pick winners. So technically the people who were honored last night are only finalists for the award.
So the big difference here, though, has a dollar sign next to it, right?
That is correct, and the number next to that dollar sign is zero. In that they don't get any bonuses. Generally, executives who get these presidential rank awards, for distinguished executives, they get a bonus 35% of their salary, and meritorious executives get 20% bonuses. But this year, because the program was suspended, they get nothing.
So technically, you're correct, and I appreciate the correction. What I was alluding to, though, was the fact that last year there was not only no bonus, there was no finalist, there was no award, there was no presentation, there was no nothing.
Yeah, I think that's right, if I'm getting my years straight here. But, yeah, it's definitely the trend has been to not recognize them. Now, OPM has announced that next year the awards are coming back in their full incarnation, and presumably these, at least some or all of these same people, could be recognized again next year and actually honored with bonuses.
What do you take away from the meaning of the way this has changed the last couple of years? Now, the reasoning has been tight budget times. This could appear to be frivolous when we're trying to talk about saving money and all of that. And that's an understandable case, because you know somebody would print, John Smith received a bonus of this, that, and the other thing, is how this is going to look. Or $1 million in bonuses paid to federal, you know, we could write the headlines if we sat down and had enough whiskey.
Yeah, that's right. There's no question that we're in a climate where people are inclined to look askance at any kind of bonuses. And certainly last year, in the midst of the sequestration battle and furloughs and looming shutdown of government, people were not inclined to give bonuses to anybody. In fact, rank-and-file federal employees, I think on the whole, cheered the administration when they said, we're not going to give executives bonuses, because they didn't, you know, they were getting furloughed at the same time.
The event yesterday that you went to honored these folks, and you cited four of them in your piece on GovExec, and we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Shay Assad of the Defense Department, he's Director of Defense Pricing at OSD. Deborah Jin of NIST. Ellen Ochoa of NASA's Johnson Space Center. Walker Smith of the Office of Global Affairs and Policy at the EPA. I mean, I read through some of the things that they did, and it's like Service to America Medal type stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's that same level of person who are doing things that are really, truly amazing and making a big difference in the country, and the kind of thing that people are being paid many, many times what they're earning in the private sector if they do anything like this kind of accomplishment.
I'm looking at the list, and the list that appear, it says at the bottom, as you write in your piece, the list isn't comprehensive. It only includes finalists agreeing to public recognition as of May 13th, 2014. I'm just eyeballing this. It looks like it's maybe 150 or 200 people.
I think it's around 100 people.
Okay. So it's not a terrifically broad swath of the 2-point-whatever million federal employees that exist right now. This is a very elite, very high-level group of people whose accomplishments are commensurate with that piece of the population.
Yeah, they really are the best of the best. They're not even that big a slice of the 7,000 senior executive service members. So they really are people who are doing things that really go above and beyond. And, you know, I think this is a recurring problem that Americans, first of all, aren't that aware of the good things that government is doing, and we've talked about that before, but aren't aware of the size and scope of some of these operations. We're seeing this at the VA in the hunt for a new VA secretary. necessary when some people are saying, you know, go out to the private sector and get somebody with experience in running a health system. Well, there isn't a health system that's anywhere near as big as the VA health system. In fact, that's the most challenging job in healthcare. So when you get down to it, there are things in government like this that people on the whole don't understand just the magnitude of the challenge and the fact that some of these people in a really unsung way are doing great things.
Tom Shoup's editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, and you can find a link to his piece on govexec.com on the in-depth page at federalnewsradio.com later this afternoon. One other issue I wanted to bring up with you that also follows on to something that you and I have talked about both on the air and off the air, Tom, and that is this note from my colleague Nicola Grisco's newscast today. 8,400 federal employees filed for retirement in the month of May. That's about 600 fewer than OPM expected. Now, at a time when federal employees have every single excuse in the book, every legitimate reason to say, I'm sick of this and I don't want to deal with this anymore. Pay freeze for 3 years, furloughed without pay during the shutdown, or during the sequester, the government shutdown causing financial instability and questions until their back pay was restored. There's a bunch of great reasons for people to say, I don't want to do this anymore. And yet, OPM's numbers, which struck me as I looked at them on the whole for an entire year as being low, are not even being met by the number of people that are deciding to leave the federal government. Does that make any sense to you, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think it says a couple things. One, that it's notoriously hard to predict how many people will actually retire at any given moment. Two, this notion that there's going to be over some relatively short period of time, a retirement wave that in which a whole bunch of people, thousands and thousands of people, are going to leave government all at once is probably not going to be the case. We've been hearing about that for more than a decade now, and it hasn't really materialized. And while I think the numbers are going up, it's clear by now that this is going to be a gradual process of people leaving government. And in fact, maybe a little too gradual in the minds of the people who are waiting to move into some of these top positions.
Yeah, that's what I thought of as I've talked about this with a couple of HR people is, what about the people that are a level or two levels or three levels below the people who have been in government, who are eligible now to retire and who are deciding, yeah, this isn't such a bad deal. This is a pretty good gig and I'll keep riding this till I'm not able to anymore.
Yeah, I think it does create a situation where there are people who have spent many years working their ways up through the ranks for a shot at a top job, even if not in the senior executive service at the highest ranks of the general schedule, who are not able to get those positions because of there's just a lot of baby boomers that are still holding on to those jobs. Some of whom, of course, are doing a great job in their positions and who agencies would not want to lose. But they are going to have to be careful about those people coming up from underneath them because they're likely to want to just at some point to say, I'm going to move to the private sector to get the opportunities that I want. Now, since 2008 or so, that's been a difficult thing to do, but that won't be true forever.
It will be interesting to watch how this plays out, Tom, because that kind of what we're talking about is completely the 180 degrees opposite of what most workforce planning that I've seen out of federal agencies looks like. Most of it is still, how are we going to address losing all these people whenever they decide to get out and we have this big whack of folks that we've got to try to replace?
Yeah, and I think there is a strong element of that and that revolves around succession planning and doing succession planning effectively. But if agencies do that right, they should be both planning for the people who are going to go and planning for the people who are going to move into those positions behind them, making sure that they're trained in the right way and that they're prepared to step into these jobs.
Tom, I hope you have a great weekend. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be with you. Hope you have a great weekend, too.
Tom Shoup, editor-in-chief, Government Executive Magazine. You can read what he's writing about the big reception. The Senior Executives Association had that reception for the Presidential Rank Award finalists, and Tom was there, and you can read about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have a link there later this afternoon.